Blog Talk Radio.
You know what, Garrett?
Yes, sir.
Me and Mariah go back like babies and pacifiers. Oh, Marty Marlowe line. How you doing?
I'm doing great, bro. What's going on with you today?
Well, I'm doing what I do. You know, we got to host the show and still got to talk to each other. So that's what we do.
That's what we do.
Okay. Let's do this box office real quick because I found it very, very, very interesting that Jungle Book just showed up with $103 million, okay, first day, first weekend. And,
well, you know, you're dealing with a lot of old school characters.
They said that they said the movie is not
going to watch it.
They said the movie is not
for animation. We didn't get to see it in CG form, and so it's going to be most interesting in that aspect.
But they said it's really not for children. It's for
God. I saw some of the trailer to it. It's really not. It's more for, again, for the people that grew up in the animation.
Like me and you.
The next step. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
we're in the business of replaying or redoing everything. Everything's a remake, just about. There's really great things, new things that's on the market. Even when it comes down to the comic book movies, they're all remakes.
I mean,
so,
look at the second movie.
At the time when we didn't have social media, a whole lot of TV, and all we had was a big screen without the CG, now we got all this great tools and stuff to bring new people or older people back to the movies.
But
not the new kids, but the older kids such as ourselves.
Well, this whole weekend box office was about old school. I mean, because the number two movie was at $20.2 million, was Barbershop 4. And who would have thought that that would still be going on after Barbershop 1? But it's all about now we in our 40s, 50s, and we still own the barbershop.
Again, Barbershop broke in. We needed some comedy, something that we could associate with and understood. I mean, cause I remember growing up and going to the barbershop with my dad, and this old man in the corner making jokes, people laughing, hee-hawing, the occasional somebody coming in there selling stuff, you know what I'm saying? So it brings back that that sentiment for going to the barbershop. It ain't like going to the barbershop today, but those old school barbershop days.
Well, it ain't like going today because you're too worried about who's going to get shot.
Right.
And all the folks you don't know and trying to make it in and out in one piece. Furthermore, a lot of the hangout is still at the barbershop, and you can get caught up real quick. I don't go. I cut my own hair, you know. But I just thought that, you know, I saw the first Barbershop. And then I'm kind of lax. You know, I have a history of just, it's hard for me to watch films that reflect a part of my upbringing. So I never saw Friday. Okay, I didn't need to see it. It was like, what I did see was like, man, that's us. So it's like, I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? After Boys in the Hood and Colors and South Central, and then Blood In, Blood Out, that was a wrap for me, bro. I'm done. I can't do too much more ghetto gangsterism, ethnic, over ethnicity. It's just, it's hard for me to do that. I don't know. It may be something wrong with my brain.
I mean, some of the movies, like I've seen most of the movies that you said, and I agree that we lived it, but to see it on the screen is a little bit different, you know, because now you get to see, or just like with the barbershop scene thing, you know, you've seen the barbershop one, we grew up in barbershops, because that's where the men used to, grown men used to go and hang out.
Right. The barbershop.
So we're more than that. We're the last era of that, really. If you really take a good look at it, we're the last era of those old-fashioned barbershops.
Yeah, I mean, my father took me, and then I started going on my own. And I remember when you and I, you had a cool barber over there off, and you took me up because I was coming from college. Remember, I couldn't even get my hair cut in the Bay at some point because a barber that I did find that was good, they shot that shit up next.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we're doing the old school veterans, the old guys that learned how to cut hair while they were in the service, that kind of stuff, you know. And so, like I said, we got a lot of it. That's what we grew up with. And seeing it on screen is kind of cool, but you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's not like you're reliving the theme and you stay in nostalgia and you can't get out of the trap of nostalgia. I think from a show production standpoint, just not this episode, but as we analyze the way in which we live and the way in which we interact in all our shows, I just find it odd again that probably 50% of the shows are retro, dealing with old themes, telling a new story about old themes, but they're old themes. And it would suggest to me that that Hollywood itself and the movie makers are shunning, probably for the risk, children-based films, because Avatars come only once in a blue moon, right?
Right.
Star Wars and all that amazement only comes once every 6-7 years. So, and then what was the last big kid movie with
the Star Wars thing? They started to run out of good ideas. You know what I'm saying? If the people look at this new Star Wars, it basically replaced the very first Star Wars. You got a Death Star. You got to blow it up the same way. We got the good side, the bad side. We got the two people that don't know that they're basically heading in the same direction, trying to be the new Jedis. You know what I'm saying? So they didn't give it nothing new.
Is that because they're being comfortable trying to retell the same story? And you're only going to be comfortable
with the fact that they can't find any better storytellers.
Well, no, I think that they don't want to take risks, and it's about being comfortable to make a certain budget and to make sure that you, you know, unlike the Batman thing, it started way up, you know, $100 million or so, and then dropped dramatically to, like, 20. So with that suggestion, now they just signed him, Ben Affleck, to, I think, direct and star in the next 2 or 3 Batman. So if you thought that was old and the retelling of the same old thing, you know, how old is it going to be? He'll be gray hair by the time he finished production.
Exactly. But again, again, the Stones won't have any upward tour because, again, you ain't got that great of writers out there no more.
Yeah, and I'll...
We'll be living all the stuff that we've already done. So, with some new ideas, create some new stuff, we're going to be causing this conundrum for a while.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree with that, and it also seems to reflect the fact that as adults, we just want to live in the past, and we don't have any desire to create the newness, particularly on the minority black and women's side, that everybody's complaining about. So you get back into the same old Hollywoodism and the same old folks judging and viewing because folks don't want to take risks because it's hard to take risks. And, you know, you're spending, let me see. Jungle Book, what was the budget? I don't know. Do I have a budget? Oh, yeah, I had a budget. Jungle Book budget was $175
million. I mean, that's the same thing.
Okay, and compare this to Barbershop, The Next Cut. Their budget... It's not listed, but I'll be willing to bet money that Ice Cube did not spend over $30 million or $20 million probably to make this film. And when you look at something like The Boss, who was number three this weekend, and they only spent $29 million to make it. Yeah, they're making their money back. Everybody's gonna make their money back, and you would be cautious to spend a lot of money on some new scenes that aren't tested in the public. Here's the thing. It's like DJ. You have to prepare your crowd for your next record. You have to prepare them for the direction of your mix. And if you know that this is going to go on for 3, 4 to 5 hours, you would be cautious to direct them the right way, wouldn't you?
You have to.
And so your Hollywood producers and directors are doing the exact same thing, and so you're not going to get the fatness and the newness of the telling stories or the risk-taking with telling stories. That seems to be slowly going out of the game. You know, nobody wants to take a risk. I mean, why ain't they told the Freddie Gray story? Huh? Okay,
nobody wants to take a risk, and a lot of people that don't know who Freddie Gray is going to be like, well, who is that?
Well, I think today is the anniversary of his death. I believe that was the brother in Baltimore.
Exactly.
That was put in the back of the van and driven around like a psycho. To the point where he basically bruised and punctured his spine and died of convulsions. So at the end of the day, though, you're right. I'm right. There's no risk there. And already? How did that? Oh, you know what, GRX?
What?
They booked me on a 15-minute show. And I hit a 30.
Oh, okay.
I hit 30. We might just go over. No biggie. No worries. Now, let's keep talking because Coachella is... We were on last weekend, it's back this weekend, and again, it was the same old sameness. Same old sameness, right?
Well, it was different bells and whistles and put them out in the desert.
Yeah, but the same old Kanye's and the same old Jay-Z showed up, and I think Ice Cube showed up, and the same old Snoop's, and you know, so we ain't, you know, think about it this way. An artist that has spawned his career in the last 10 years, and if he's still making any hits for the last 5 years, doesn't have the luxury of someone like Ice Cube or Snoop, who started nearly 20 years ago, or Kanye, who started maybe 15, 16 years ago, with a new wave of hip-hop out of LA. So, you know, my point is, you guys got to kind of analyze what the heck is going on with the public and their choices. Because listen to this. Rihanna is still number one at work.
Again, look at her going to be. That's going to be the summer flare-up.
And
the next flare-up song comes.
Well, at this point, I just think that somebody just needs to come all the way together and hit this. Or I hope they got one in waiting. Panda Designers number 2 went up from last week was at 5, so that's moving. Moving down to 7 years, Lucas Graham. Moving down, Megan Trainor, no. Moving down, Pillow Talk Zane. Moving up, I Took a Pill in Ibiza, Mike Posner. Moving up, Work From Home, Fifth Harmony featuring Ty Dolla $ign. Love Yourself, Justin Bieber's going down. Cake by the Ocean, DNCE, is up from 12. G, Myself, and I at 10 is even. G-Eazy, Baby, and Rexha. At the end of the day, it just doesn't look as exciting as you would think it is. And my sense is that because I listen to a lot of new music, and I hear people listening to the same music, and it has a simple drab to it. Whether it's Blase, 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 or the Drake or the Weeknd, it's the same type of drab. And
back in the day, when we had this discussion a couple years ago, when we were talking about DJing, and I told you that's the reason I got out of DJing was because all the music to me started to sound the same. It didn't have anything. I couldn't find anything that was uplifting that made me want to be a DJ. You know, all the top 40 sounded all the same. Everything sounded all the same. So now I'm digging in my crates, trying to bring back some older stuff with this newer garbage, and it just wasn't working for me. And I just said to myself at that point, you know what, I'm going to rest these turntables because they need a rest. And I need a rest. And so I backed away from it for a while because the music to me started all sound the same. And as remember, we used to talk about the plastic people. All the plastic people are all the same.
So the cover
situation, the music situation, it was all the same. And then you still got the knuckleheads on the outside of the club that you had to contend with. And then you just say, you know what, enough being the DJ.
Yeah, sort of like the Snoop and Fox song, every other city I go, I always see the same. Oh. So, you know, you get to a point where, I was there. One of the reasons I kept growing my DJ and entertainment business is for those reasons. You know, just on one side, the disc jockey side, it got old. And dealing with people on the disc jockey side got old. That really got old to me because, again, it's like the film and entertainment we're talking about. They were not trying to find me and work with me on these new tracks. And I'm all about new music. We're going to bring your hits. We're going to bring your classics. But we still got to lace you and direct you to this newness. Because that's how I make my bread and butter. I'm a promoter first, disc jockey second. And I was a label rep. So independent. So I have to Big Daddy, right? And the artist. But at the end of the day, you got to a point where the public just knew so much about everything and got snooty and turned their nose up and then really got really plastic. And so it made it hard to continue. But I think it's sort of like the film, you know, unless you as the producer at this time is going to take risks and work through it with your audience, all you're going to do is rob Peter to pay Paul and shoot your foot off. Because you still have to grow your audience and your followers.
And I agree with that. And to me, it just ain't out there no more. I mean, I listen to some of the music and I listen to it. And I go, okay, yeah, I can see where that's catching, whatever. But as a DJ today, and all you're doing is really button mashing, and everything sounds the same, I kind of got away from that. And that was another thing that kind of drove me away from it. When everything got out of that being a real DJ, and when I'm talking about a real DJ, it's flipping that wax and creating your own style and sound, and now anybody can copy your style and sound by mashing buttons and got beat counters and every other little bells and whistle echo machines. Well, back in the day, I had to create the echo. Back in the day, I had to create the double beats. Now, I can just press a button and I can sync it to the next song and do all that. $3 a DJ. So I'm not taking it away because I know everything has to progress. So the new DJ is the into button mashing, and I'm cool with that. And some of them agree that button mashing. And I'm not taking it away from them, but me, I'm just that old school cat that likes rap. Rapping in a diamond needle, you know what I'm saying?
Right, I'm not, some of the mashups is actually whack to me. And I see these DJs getting all this popularity. And it started with the video mashups, you know. Just because you can mash up a classic rock tune and put a beat under it and then mix it with Pac or Snoop or some early Dre, that ain't the way of the walk, Playboy. And I think for me, you know, I'm a purist. So you just got
to check this out. Before they were doing that, I was doing that with the old school stuff that I used to use with. You know, when I started using Eddie Murphy, when I was using Richard Pryor in my mixes. Okay, I used to do that all the time. I was a poor DJ, I only had one record, so I had to mash them up.
Now that makes sense, but you weren't mashing up Led Zeppelin and mix it next to Diana Ross and then come out with some cameo and then move into Schoolie D. It just wasn't going to happen. We would never do that. See what I'm saying? And now you have, I go to Vegas a lot, and I see this. You know, you got these prima donna DJs, big stage, big scenes, and all they're doing is on auto-tune and auto-mix. And so whatever button they press is going to automatically mix it. They're not actually working.
And then, like I said, that's what the new DJs have to do, and that's the deal. That's just the way that everything is going into the digital world. That's cool, because you don't have DJs to be able to do that. But I, myself personally, just like my old 1200s, the old new bar, you know, I'm an old school cat, you know, and when it comes down to that. If I can't make the record do it, then I'm mashing it better than it wasn't supposed to be done by me.
Well, to that credit, did you know, it's over now, but this past weekend was National Vinyl Weekend, and everybody was selling vinyl, and they probably still got sales and deals. In fact, the statistic is that vinyl sales outpaced digital downloads, period, last year.
Well, I know, like, for instance, you know, vinyl is forever going to be popular and going to be that thing, especially if you got collectors out there that know what they're collecting and what they're looking for. You know, because we can go into my little stash over here, and I got some winners in there, right off the cut. You know, knowing that they were something with somebody, you know what I'm saying? But, again, we can get caught up in this digital download world because it's the new thing. And I understand it, you know, you kind of replace the whole, and I understand that. So that's, like I said, that's why I kind of backed out from being a DJ, but I ain't never stopped working or loving music, you know what I'm saying? So it is what it is.
Well, even if you, I'm just saying it, I'm not advocating. If you ever decide to backtrack into DJing, you'll probably be way more successful now as a vinyl-only advertised disc jockey than anything else, because this is huge, and everybody wants to see the vinyl disc jockey back in action, and it's probably...
Because you had to put on the show. You just couldn't be a DJ that can have a decent flow, because I was that good. I was a DJ with a decent flow, but I didn't have no show with mine. And so when I hooked up with Jeremy Jim and I and him, I realized that, oh, I got to amp my game up. You know, just amp that game up.
Yeah. You know, I came up in the Bay on this jockey, so you can't come up without the show. So how that goes. TRX, there's been yet another shooting in South L.A., and these cars and houses look very familiar. So I'm kind of turning that up. You know, just 2 days ago, brother, had us shut down all night. Over some incident with some young brothers running from the police, hit a police car, and they just had the whole Florence, Normandy area shut down for hours. And y'all was on the news, I think.
Yeah, it was. I saw a little bit of it. And I laughed about it. I said, oh, my young man, have his boys cut up again.
Well, there were folks from over here, and actually some of my, when I got over to the scene, I found out that, you know, usual suspects, same folks, same clique, but at the end of the day, there's a wave all around these hot spots from your traditional neighborhood to the next that is starting up again. Now, we already...
Well, it's summertime.
Yeah.
And it's spring, summertime mode, when they let a lot of fools out of jail. You know, this is the time of the year that we'll put like this. They'll start flushing everybody out of jail between June and August. And then after that, you get all your killings and all your peak stuff starting to happen in the neighborhood around that time. And then around September, October-ish, they start putting them back in jail.
Maybe that is affecting the whole psychological aspect of the mind to the extent that this is why we're not getting no new film themology, no new music themology, same old pimps, hoes, hookers, and dope dealers, and fast cars. I mean, it just seems to be on a whole nother academic or theoretical level that what you see in the streets day in, day out, you know, you have to live it, and you cannot get out of the worldly trap. You can't just closing your door and going at home does not exclude you from the bull.
No, because you close your door, it might be coming right behind you once you close the door.
Or it might be on your Facebook, and they're telling you, we at your door. It's gotten that silly, but it is what it is, right?
It is. Well, I'm telling you, I'm on Facebook telling you I'm at your front door coming to get you.
Yeah, really though. Now, tomorrow is 420, and you and I talked about doing something special for 420 in addition to just firing up an extra one.
Every day.
You know, you smoke two joints before you smoke two joints, and then you smoke two more.
Exactly.
And sometimes you smoke two joints before you smoke those two joints.
Exactly.
So we'll be back at the same bad time, 11:30. We'll make sure we got 30 minutes to talk about her. We'll talk about what we are doing and what you can do and how you need to be still mindful of the fake cannabis shops and operations because the surveillance is on, bro.
Like over here, I had a doctor's appointment, and I noticed along Washington, several that were open are now closed. So
yeah,
we moved into that. So there's only gonna be a few left.
Yeah, well, the original was what, 135, and the report I read said there's 935. So, that's like 800 illegal shots. So, and they let them stay open for long periods of time. So, I mean, they let it go down. That's why you really
don't make their money because the court don't take it all away from them.
Well, they let them set up their game in operation and they get surveilled. That's the reality. And wherever they go, they go. Okay? The boys
and that's how that works.
That's how the boys in blue work. So with that, we're going to shut down Real Talk, Real Entertainment and come back tomorrow with Real Talk at Blue Think Tank, special edition 420. And so have your medicinals pre-rolled, okay, GRX, so you don't interrupt.
Oh, yeah, they're lined up already, bro.
So you don't interrupt the flow of the shit. Folks, we're out.
To the
I'll let you.
All right.